Welcome back to Leading Through Life. I'm your host, Brooks Clifford, and today on the podcast, we have Craig Bradley, the head of the Hotchkiss School in Lakeville, Connecticut. Thanks so much for taking the time to get together today, Mr. Bradley.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here with you, Brooks. I appreciate the invitation to speak with you today.
For our listeners at home, here's a little background on Mr. Bradley. Mr. Bradley was raised in Winchester, Massachusetts, and graduated from Winchester High School. He received his bachelor's degree in English at Dartmouth College and a master's degree in English from the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. His educational career includes being assistant dean and class dean at Dartmouth College, dean of students at Kenyon College, dean of students affairs at Bowdoin College, and then from 2006 to 2016, planning and building Aga Khan Academies, boarding schools, residential international baccalaureate schools currently operating in Kenya, India, and Mozambique, with future schools being planned throughout sub-Saharan Africa, Central Asia, and South Asia. Mr. Bradley became the 15th head of the Hotchkiss School in 2016. Mr. Bradley is married to Elizabeth Webb, a Dartmouth alumna, and they have two daughters. Dr. Webb teaches biology at Hotchkiss. In his free time, he loves reading, kayaking with his wife, making furniture, and speaking French. Is there anything you'd like to add, Mr. Bradley?
Well, thank you very much for that nice introduction, Brooks. I guess I would say that during this COVID period, the thing I've enjoyed more than ever, I've always done a lot of things out of doors, mentioned the kayaking, spent a lot of time during the past 14 or 15 months hiking. We've gotten to know all kinds of the trails around Hotchkiss here in Lakeville, and that's become kind of a standard weekend activity for us to go for a long hike with our dog. Become even a more important part of our kind of way of life here. So I'll simply add that.
Outside activities are definitely great at this time, during this time.
Yeah.
Today we're here to talk about leadership. Mr. Bradley, throughout your career, you've had important leadership roles in colleges, at the Aga Khan Academies, and now as head of Hotchkiss. How would you describe your leadership style?
I would say it's highly collaborative. I'm a team-minded person. I tend to think in terms of who's on the team and what's the team doing and how's the team working as a group. I go to some lengths to surround myself with people who are really great at what they do and are frankly just stronger in their given areas than I could ever be. My work is to enable them to do their best work. And so very much a collaborative, team-oriented approach to leadership.
How have you learned to be an effective leader, and what are the most important skills for leadership?
I've learned to be an effective leader by working with some really strong leaders in various places. I mean, started early and I worked for a woman known as Margaret Bonds when I was at Dartmouth. She's an outstanding academic leader and was a great mentor and important figure for me. And then from there, I worked with a really fine college president, Phil Jordan, at Kenyon College. And then under two very strong college presidents at Bowdoin, Bob Edwards and Barry Mills. And I've learned from each of them. They each have a different style, a different approach. But have learned from each of them really kind of some of the real skills about this is being kind of having a true and clear sense of who you are and what matters to you, what your own values are and what you care about, and bringing that to bear in the work and sort of doing it with your full authentic self. And also, I think an important part of this is to be able to have sufficient confidence in the sort of collective wisdom of the team, but be prepared to make decisions with incomplete information, be prepared to take responsibility for decisions, be prepared to make mistakes and own those mistakes and learn from them and move forward and not. It's not about perfection. It's about doing an excellent job, and that's not the same as perfection.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think living overseas for 10 years while you were working to build the Aga Khan Academies affected how you lead today?
Very much so, Brooks. I would say a couple of things in particular about that. First was working for His Highness the Aga Khan, who's a highly idealistic kind of visionary leader. And working for him was a very influential experience for me. Almost in some ways, he is setting out, he's still actively doing this, to do some projects that many people viewed almost as impossible projects. But it was really about this vision and this idealism that even if we come up short, what we are trying to do is build these excellent sort of high quality boarding schools in parts of the world, very challenging settings in the developing world. Even if they aren't as excellent as we strive for them to become, we will have made a positive impact. And as challenging as that is, challenging to every aspect, challenging to find talented people to teach and lead those schools, challenging to actually build the campuses and actually get the physical plant constructed, challenging to have a student selection process. These are highly selective settings that was not corrupted, not able to be corrupted. Lots and lots of challenges to it. But it was this clarity of purpose that he has and the vision of making every effort to establish excellent institutions in very, very challenging environments. And so that was a great learning experience. Also a great learning experience to start from scratch. Nothing existed. So Hyderabad, India, I'll use this as an example. First time I stepped foot in that place, we had just been given this 100 acres of land by the government of Hyderabad. So the government gave us the land with the understanding that our organization would build the school and begin the school, establish the school there. The first experience I had there was literally walking around in a field, what's called a green field site. And the last time I was there was 5 years ago, and it's a fully built campus on the scale, not quite as big as Hotchkiss, but nearly. It's quite a big school, has more students than Hotchkiss at this point, has about 850 students. And is doing quite well, and it's quite a successful school, not international baccalaureate school in India, serving Indian students. Most of the staff are the faculty and staff are Indian faculty and staff recruited from across the country, and some of whom were living internationally and came back to work there. And so to have that experience of starting from scratch and establishing something of kind of durable quality, what it takes to do that is a very valuable experience. I suppose from a leadership perspective, is being clear about what are the most important pieces to get right and not worry so much about some of the extraneous issues, but really what are the most important things to get right? Because these are like the founding fathers, and I don't want to think of myself in those terms, but when I think about the United States, it's sort of what are the core statements of the values and the mission and the purpose of the school, and how do you find individuals who will embody those and reify those values and those aspirations? And so getting that right, took great care and a lot of hard work, but I think in many ways we were successful in getting that right, in the selection of the students and the identification of the leadership of the school and the sort of leadership team in the school. So that continues for me. I just think if you set it on the right trajectory and the right path, it will continually improve and start strong and get better. So I think that's an important thing, but it's tied to this kind of vision and this idealism. The other thing that's really significant from the experience for me of having, so we lived in Paris, we lived in France for 10 years. I worked in French and in English, so it was a bilingual work environment, which I enjoy and enjoyed that. But I was constantly, I mean, every month I was either in Kenya or India or Mozambique or different parts of South Asia, Bangladesh and so on, different parts of Sub-Saharan Africa. And so when you live like then you come home and you come home to France. Obviously, I'm American. Grew up in New England, but home had become France. And so this question of culture and seeing culture, sort of beginning with that, in every interaction with people, sort of beginning to think about culture and how our cultures are different, what assumptions we make about one another, whether I'm going to India to interview teaching candidates, or I'm in Mozambique interacting with people to do some of the initial curriculum development work, whatever it is, to understand the cultural differences and the assumptions one makes about other people and interacting in very, very different cultural settings in the world. There are also obviously linguistic challenges, there are religious differences, there are you don't ever underestimate the influence of culture on an organization and on these kinds of projects where we're trying to sort of get the roots established in these places. And there's a management guru, Peter Drucker, is famous for this quote, culture eats strategy for breakfast. And the idea basically is that an organizational culture is really highly determinative of what can be done and what can be created there. So for me, it was just this constant cross-cultural interaction, whether I was back in France, speaking in French, working with colleagues there who themselves are from all sorts of different backgrounds, largely in the Anglophone and Francophone world, but from very, very different backgrounds, or in these different settings in Africa or in South Asia, you really start to think a lot and just kind of becomes a reflex to think about culture and to think about where do we find common ground and how do we move forward as a very, very diverse group of teammates. And I would say that has influenced me in a very, really quite rewarding way as well. That continues to shape the way I think and work.
Wow, that is really interesting. Where do you think your leadership has had the greatest impact in your professional career? And is there any example in particular that you'd like to highlight?
Well, time will tell what the impact of my leadership at Hotchkiss has been. Sort of still very much engaged with it, still kind of feel like I'm early on in my time at Hotchkiss in 5 years. But so time will tell. I suppose prior to Hotchkiss, certainly, I look at these boarding schools that we built in Kenya and in India and Mozambique. The one in Bangladesh is about to open, the construction's nearly complete. I'm proud of the influence I had in sort of establishing those new schools. There aren't very many schools of that caliber in those settings. There are some in India, but it's these tend to be environments where there really isn't. They're just that quality of an institution doesn't exist. So I'm proud that I was able to be part of the establishment of those new boarding schools. When I was at Bowdoin, during the 10 years I was Dean of Student Affairs at Bowdoin, there was a complete transformation of the residential experience for students, including dissolution of an established fraternity system and the creation of what was called the college house system, which is enduring, and really an opening up of campus life for students. And I think when one measure of that was when the college had just undergone a reaccreditation process the summer before I arrived there, and there was a self-study done, and there was a very low measure of student satisfaction with the sense of community on campus. Something like 27% of students said they found the sense of community at Bowdoin. And so this would have been in 1996. 27% of students said they were satisfied with the sense of community at Bowdoin. 10 years later, so I spent those 10 years there. About 90% of students expressed satisfaction with a sense of community at Bowdoin. It had to do with this fundamental reorganization of the residential experience for the students. So it was the real focus of that, and the focus of my work and our team was building community. and thinking hard about what it takes to create a strong, healthy, inclusive learning community on campus.
Wow. How did you become head of Hoschkiss, and what led you to accept the job?
Well, we had, so a personal note, our daughters, as you know, we have two daughters, they're now in their mid-20s, but at that point, they had both returned to the United States from France to go to college. One was graduating from college and the other was beginning, but they were here in the U.S. and extended family was here. And so we were starting to ask ourselves, do we intend to stay in France indefinitely, or would maybe we should think about coming back? And I had very, very clearly decided that the next thing I wanted to do career-wise was to lead a school. I've been in the process of building schools and hiring heads of schools and from a foundation level and really getting them established, but very much wanted to be in the role of head of a school. Why Hoschkiss? For me, the what was most important was to join a community that, well, that functions well as a community, I would say that, but really where the values of the community square with who I am and what I care about, and where there's a genuine and deeply rooted sense of excellence. I really, in the same way, that's what attracted me to the establishment of the Aga Khan Academies and, as you know, founding those schools. There are very few places in my mind, and there are very few places that are genuinely excellent. And Hoschkiss is one of those places. And I don't say that immodestly. And part of what does it mean to be excellent? Part of that is continually striving to be better. But we have a high standard. We our students have high standards, our faculty have high standards. And so for me, it was quite important. I wasn't prepared to throw all of my energy and imagination and hard work into a school that I didn't view as really excellent, because I think there are very few places like this, and so that was important to me. And I like to think that we're building on that excellence, we're improving it as we go.
Hoschkiss has a Latin motto that translates to "guided by each other, let us seek better paths." How does this motto influence how you lead at Hoschkiss?
Well, I read that. I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, inherent in this "guided by each other, let us seek better paths" is it's really a kind of an obligation for leaders and for participants in the community. So not just the leaders, but an obligation to really listen to one another and to take on board ideas that may not have occurred to you before, and take on board perspectives about things that you hadn't considered, and recognizing that in the process of doing that, we'll come to better decisions and we'll make better choices for the community and for the future of the school. So I take it, I actually think it's really quite a helpful and enabling motto for us. And it applies across the school, whether that's you know, a student in a course with a teacher, or a teacher hearing a student's feedback around a Harkness table of an idea that they're seeing in a fresh way. That's guided by each other. But for me, as the head of the school, it really is this kind of commitment to keeping an open mind and to listening.
As a rising junior at Hoschkiss, is there anything that I or other future students should know about the school?
Come wholeheartedly, come with an open mind and open heart. Don't hesitate to get involved. Throw yourself right into it. Manage your time carefully. It's a lot is expected and asked of students. And coming in as a new 11th grader, a lower mid, as we say, you're coming from a competitive secondary school environment, so you're familiar with this, but it moves pretty quickly, so you need to manage your time. Well, I don't say that to cause any stress, but to just make sure you're practicing good habits around time management. But don't hesitate to get involved with stuff and to connect with people and really get to know. I mean, the beauty of this place is really just the people who are here. Lots of interesting people, all kinds of different stories and different talent here, different forms of talent. And so throw yourself into it. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Definitely. Through your many years of leading schools, how have the kids you presided over influenced how you lead?
Well, this is but guided by each other. Let us seek better paths, honestly. All the time, it's a constant aspect for me of causing me to think about things differently based on conversations I have with students. So I had breakfast this morning, Monday morning, a breakfast with the school presidents, the all school presidents, and now we have newly elected school presidents. So they're departing, they're about to graduate, school co-presidents and the newly elected ones. So the five of us have been having these breakfasts since the new ones were elected on Monday mornings. And there's just lots of different ideas and questions about the way we do things that I find very, very stimulating. And I'm really listening. And so I would say that they influence me in all kinds of ways. I mean, I think I come at this with a certain amount of just intellectual humility. I don't have all the answers. I really want to help us put together the right solutions. And that's again about listening. And I also think, students, I share their idealism. I'm a pretty idealistic person, as you can see by the choices I've made with my career. And I find that Hotchkiss students, anyway, many, many Hotchkiss students are also quite idealistic and really want to make a serious impact on the world. And so we have that in common. And they fuel my idealism, and I like to think I influence theirs.
What are some of the challenges of leadership, do you think?
I mentioned this a little earlier. I think one of the things, we've learned it very clearly during this COVID pandemic, you have to get comfortable with not having complete information, or where the knowledge that you need to make a decision is still developing. In the case of COVID, for example, get comfortable with making your best decisions without complete information, but with sufficient confidence and collaborative, sort of relying a lot on outside expertise in the case of COVID. But you have to get comfortable with basically at the end of the day, putting the stake in the ground and saying, this is what we're gonna do. And it's your responsibility to do that and take responsibility for that choice, even though there are a lot of unknowns. But it's not a reckless business. It's not a random process. You've thought about it a lot. You're thinking about it. You're imagining different ways to go. But the other thing that I've always felt is there are lots of ways to get things right. And so when you really internalize that, you say, okay, with COVID, we could do it this way, this way, this way. Okay. We think about it, we say, we're gonna do this. And it doesn't mean that the other two are wrong answers. It's just like, we're gonna do this. And we do that, and it's worked out for us. We've had all things considered, it's been quite a successful year at Hotchkiss. It's not to say the way we did it was, again, it's not about being perfect. It worked for us. And it was we managed that risk sufficiently well to have gotten to this point in the year. So getting comfortable with incomplete information and doing your best and taking responsibility and being prepared to make mistakes and not beat yourself up. Like, okay, I made a mistake. We'll do this differently next time. That's okay. That's the nature of learning. So I would say that the challenges of leadership, the joy of it for me is to be doing it with other people. It's really to put together a great team. I think of the student leadership. I mentioned this breakfast this morning. They know this, and I view them in this way. It's like a partnership. I want to be helpful to them, enable them to be successful. And they give me good ideas, and they give me good feedback, which enables me to be successful. So I really do view this form of leadership as a kind of constant collaboration.
Definitely. Who have been some of your teachers or mentors that have influenced you throughout your life?
I mentioned the Margaret Bonds, who was she was the dean of freshmen at Dartmouth. And I worked for her when I first started working there after having come back from Scotland. And Great. You know, I've had really excellent mentors. I mean, Margaret and then Phil Jordan at Kenyon and then Bob Edwards at Bowdoin and Barry Mills at Bowdoin. And and working in the Aga Khan Academies, I worked for a man called Salim Bhatia, who was very, very wise, extremely perceptive and thoughtful leader, kind of unflappable, which is necessary. I mean, we'd be in, you know, in a very challenging environment in Mozambique trying to figure something out. He'd just cool as can be and really thinking carefully about all the sort of pieces. And he really taught me, I would say specifically, how to make decisions with largely incomplete information, but with the confidence to know that we could make our way forward by making a certain choice now and make another choice later. So I've had a number of very, very good mentors, and I'm grateful to them all. They're all still with us, and they remain important friends.
What advice would you have for young people who want to become leaders, and what advice would you have for a younger version of yourself if you had the chance to talk to them?
That second part of that question is a great question. But I'll wait. I'm not sure. I'll have to think about that one. I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, you know, I think preparation is really important. I think academic preparation is really important, as much to honestly have confidence in your own ability to solve problems, have confidence in your own ability to express your ideas in writing and orally. The preparation for me is partly about establishing good work habits and a good work ethic, and just like getting the work done and managing your time so that you can meet deadlines and be productive and get the work done. And then I think very importantly, and this is related to the experience I had working in these very different cultural settings, part of the preparation I think that's important for young people who want to become leaders is an openness and a curiosity about people who are really come from very different cultural backgrounds. I think that I'll look at you, Brooks, and I'll say this: in your life and in your career, you will have an advantage as a leader to the degree that you are at home with and really quite you enjoy the experience of working with as a part of a diverse team and ultimately as a leader of a diverse team. And so how do you prepare for that? Well, you prepare for that by coming to Hotchkiss and living with a diverse peer group and interacting with teammates who are coming from all sorts of different places and classmates and people who share your interests and so on. So I think this preparation to act, it's not just like tolerating a diverse peer group, it's actually being curious about people who are different. And I think leaders now, and it's well established that diverse teams are more productive and more successful than teams that sort of all think alike, hardwired in their own kind of habits of mind and their own spirit to think about cultural diversity and think about differences of background as they put together their teams and as they lead. So I think preparation is really important. People want to be, and I think like anything, you learn by doing. And so you have created this podcast, and that's a leadership act that takes initiative. It takes a certain amount of vision. It takes a certain kind of planning and execution. That's leadership. And so leadership takes lots of different forms, and you get better at it if you give yourself time to reflect on what's gone well and where you stumbled or where things didn't work out, or all of that is good learning. And so leadership doesn't necessarily mean you've been elected to some position. It could mean that, there's nothing wrong with that, or that you've been captain of something. Leadership takes many forms, and a big part of that is really having confidence in your own ideas, the difference you want to create in the world, like this is what I care about, these are my values, I see an opportunity to have an impact here, and the thoughtfulness to kind of plan a way forward and get others to work with you to make that happen. And so, but it's the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's like anything, and I think it certainly can be learned, and I think it's largely learned experientially. And as you've heard my story, I mean, for me, a lot of that learning took place by working very closely with people who are quite experienced leaders. And I just, it sort of rubs off. I mean, you sort of learn by their example and you pay attention. And then I make my mistakes and I learn from those and I keep going. So I think that's what I would say. Put yourself in situations, not because it carries a title or some status, but where you can make a difference. And put yourself in that situation and you'll learn from it and you'll have some impact. And that's how you become a leader. You'll find that you're able to make an impact and create an impact and get others to follow your lead. And you'll have more opportunities to do that as time goes on, just because you've gained that experience, it accumulates. So what advice would I have for a younger version of myself? I suppose I'd be a little more have a little more sense of humor about making mistakes, a little less hard on myself. When I was a younger person, I really, you know, like in schoolwork and stuff, I really pushed myself. I always felt like I could do better, and I was kind of hard on myself when I didn't do as well as I wanted. I obviously, my academic career reflects that I was a good student and took pride in that, cared about that. And I'm curious, I like to learn things. So I like school, and I always enjoyed academic life. But in retrospect, I wish I'd sort of just had a little more of a, what do I want to say, a little more acceptance of those moments where I made mistakes and really didn't do things very well, and just kind of learned from those. And, you know, I think in terms of formal experience, I'm a big fan of gap years for students. So I respect, if it's a gap year that's thought through and something meaningful is done during that time. So I think there's also another piece of this of just don't be in a big hurry. Like, go ahead and take the gap year after college and do something really interesting. I would say this as a general, my experience has taught me this. I would say that's been even more valuable for young men I've known versus young women. I think for you know, boys coming out of high school, to have that year to travel or to go somewhere, you know, away from home and work and just kind of can be a really important period of maturation before beginning college. And I didn't do that. I went straight in, and I feel like had I done a gap year, it might have been some experience I would have had that could have been influential in terms of the way I approached college. But I certainly have seen a lot of students benefit from that. And I suppose I might have, if I were giving my young self that advice, I might say, think about a gap year and think about doing something really interesting and something that would be somewhat challenging before sort of getting back into a rigorous and demanding academic program.
Yes, definitely. I'm definitely like you in that aspect. Right now I'm very focused on school, but I'm also trying to work on kind of living in the moment and trying to get a sense of humor about school. And it's trying to think about how one bad thing that happens to you is not going to affect everything that happens in the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Is there anything else that I didn't ask that you'd like to share?
No, I think you've got a pretty good sense of who I am and how I think about leadership, Brooks. It's been a pleasure to do this with you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you. That is all the questions we have for today. For our listeners at home, keep an eye out for our next episode. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.